Welcome back to our study of Genesis. We are in chapter 3 and we're going to pick up with verse 12. And he said, "Certainly I will be with you, and this shall be a token unto you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain."
Now, I alluded to this earlier, but when the Lord is talking to him, he's, you know, this is what is called previously Horeb, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is where he is. This is the burning bush. And God says to Moses that you're going to bring the nation of Israel to this mountain to serve it. You understand that's where the Ten Commandments were given. That's where God spoke. That's where Moses was 40 days and 40 nights. Only it's called Sinai. Okay? And so God says this will be a sign to you. You'll bring Israel, I'm going to say it this way, you'll bring Israel here and to serve me at this mountain. Because that's exactly, we know from the history, that's exactly what occurred, right?
Mm-hmm. And when Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?"
So Moses is still pleading his case because now this inadequacy has set in. You understand? He realizes his deficiencies, and he says, "Well, what do I tell these people?" And he said, "You know, say the God of your ancestors sent you." And, well, what if they ask his name? What do I say then?
And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you." And God said moreover unto Moses, "Thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations."
So when asked, God gives him an answer, an unusual name. I am who I am.
Mm-hmm.
God is who he is. He's not who people say he is. He is who he is. And he says, "You tell them that the Lord God of their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, sent you to them." He said, "This is my name forever. And this is my commemoration to all the generations." All the generations are going to know that I am who I am. I'm God.
"Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey."
So when God tells him to go back, he doesn't say, "Go first to Pharaoh." He says, "You go gather the elders of Israel together, and you tell them, deal with your people first." Okay? Get them prepared. "You tell them that the Lord God of their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to you. And he told you that he was visiting the descendants of Israel because he'd seen what had been done to them in Egypt. And he said, I'll keep my word that I've spoken. I will deliver them from the oppression of Egypt, and I will take them into the land that I promised Abraham, the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites." He said, "I'll take them," here again reiterating, "to a land flowing milk and honey." I'm taking them to a place that's going to meet all their needs.
and they shall hearken to my voice, and they shall come, you and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now let us go, we beseech you, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God.
So the Lord tells Moses, you gather these elders, they will listen to you. And they'll obey. And then Moses and the elders of Israel then were to go to the king and say to the king, the Lord God of the Hebrews appeared to us and instructed us to tell you to give us permission to go 3 days' journey into the wilderness so we can offer sacrifices to our God. All this conversation right now is prior to the things happening. God's telling Moses all these things to do before Moses ever gets in to Egypt, okay? And so he's getting him prepared. God's putting his word into Moses. You follow me? Okay.
Verse 19, and I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go.
Now this is a word of the Lord to Moses. You go, when you go to Pharaoh and you tell him to let the people go, he is not going to let them go. Not until thee is forced to do it. You with me? Moses has this word before he ever goes to Egypt. So often God will give us a word, but when we get into hard circumstances, we forget what God said.
Mm-hmm.
And God has already told him that Pharaoh's heart is going to be hardened and he's not going to give them permission to go. And God says, but a mighty hand will come down and he'll submit to that mighty hand. That will persuade him to let the people go. Now we know the story, but let's let it unfold, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All this is happening just exactly like God said. God gives us a word. That word's opposed. You ever notice that? God tells you to do something, and then it seems like, as old saying goes, all hell breaks loose against what you're trying to do. Well, you can get mad at God, and you can say, well, I thought, or why doesn't it work? Or you can say, God, you said this. You're not a man that you can lie, and I thank you that what you said is coming to pass, and all hell can't stop it. There is no power compared to the power of God. You follow me? So don't think life's without opposition, but we have the power by staying united with the Lord to press through the opposition to get the victory. Okay? And have you ever heard the old adage, the darkest hours before dawn? Sometimes things get worse before they get better. But don't look at the worse. Hebrews 12 talks about Jesus who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. You understand? That's what we have to do. We have to look at what it's going to produce.
Mm-hmm.
Not focused on adverse circumstances right now. Then you can get discouraged. You can get depressed and all this type stuff. You have to do what David did when he came back and Ziklag was burned and his army is ready to kill him. He encourages himself in the Lord and leads the ones who are talking about killing him to a great victory because he stayed focused You understand? We have to stay focused on what God says. When God gives you a word, stay focused on that. You let the word come to pass. Don't try to make it come to pass. Just cooperate with God. We looked at Joseph's life. That's a prime example. He let God's word come to pass. Okay?
Verse 20. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go.
This is the amazing thing. God says, I'm going to give the Israelites favor with the Egyptians. And they're going to give them stuff to where when they leave Egypt, they're not going to go out empty. Which is pretty amazing when you look at it. And this is often overlooked because the scriptures tell us that they spoiled Egypt. They didn't just go out by the skin of their teeth, so to speak. They went out with great riches. They got the wealth of Egypt, so to speak.
Verse 22. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourns in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. You shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians.
So Moses is to tell these Israelite women, all right, you ask the Egyptians, they come into your house, ask them for articles of gold, articles of silver, clothing, yeah, and they're going to give them to you. You're going to have favor with them. And when you leave Egypt, you'll leave Egypt wealthy. You'll also find that there was not a feeble one among them when they left Egypt. But, you know, the story unfolds slowly. You know, so often we want all the good stuff and we don't want to hear nothing about any adverse circumstances. But they had to go through some adverse circumstances first.
So chapter 4, this chapter reveals Moses' commission by God to deliver the Israelites from bondage. Moses' resistance to God's commission, God's signs to Moses, Aaron's appointment as Moses' spokesman, the circumcision of Moses' son, Moses and Aaron's return to Egypt, and their acceptance by the elders of Egypt. All right, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they shall say, The Lord has not appeared unto you.
So you see how Moses is arguing with God.
Yeah.
He's not convinced. Think about this. And don't blame him, because you're probably in the same boat sometimes. You're not sure if what God's saying is true. God has just told him that the elders would obey him. But now he's saying, what if they don't?
Yeah.
What do I say then? I mean, how am I going to prove all this? Because I may go to them, gather them, and tell them that you appeared to me, and they said, God didn't appear to you. God didn't speak to you. And people will do that. But God has assured him that they're going to listen to him. But he's not confident of that. And I'm not putting Moses down. I'm just showing you that he has natural feelings just like you and I do. And he had things to face and overcome just like you and I do. But here's the thing you glean out of this. God is always good for his word. Always.
Let's read verses 2 through 4. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in your hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. and he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth your hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand.
Isn't it amazing how God can use what you have to get the point across? What's in your hand? A rod. Throw it down. You turn it loose. You turn what you have loose and turn it over to me.
Yeah.
Then it becomes a snake, and he does what a smart guy would do. He runs from it.
Yeah.
Now, the problem I would have had when he said, go take it by the tail.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you understand? And so when he throws a rod down, it becomes a serpent. But when he reaches and grabs it by the tail, it turns back into a rod. Nothing's impossible with God. How many of you know sticks don't turn into snakes and snakes don't turn into sticks? But if God gets in it and God said so, then what God says will happen, will happen. And we have to get convinced of that.
You know, you think about, and you alluded to this. He said, what's that in your hand? It's a rod. So many times, you know, we say, oh, I don't have anything. I don't have anything I can offer. I can't do that. But that's not true. The Lord has and given each one of us a special gifts unique to each one of us. But like what Pete said, the key in that was Moses had to be willing to throw it down to the Lord.
You think of the widow woman that Zarephath where Elijah went to.
Yeah.
She's getting ready the last meal, and that's it. They're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And God, through Elijah, give it to me. You give to me first. Mm-hmm. And we all know the end of the story. I don't believe God filled the barrel up. I just believe the barrel never ran out. Every time she went to get, she had. You understand? You have to turn it over to the Lord. And in that particular case, it's God's representative. Now, that can sound cold. You know, the preacher wants my last meal. Right? But that was their salvation.
Yeah.
Being willing to give it to the Lord so the Lord could do something with it.
Yeah.
If you give what you have to the Lord, then the Lord will be able to do something with what you have that you certainly couldn't do in your own.
That's good. Okay. So it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared unto you.
So the Lord tells Moses this phenomenon is going to be a sign to validate the fact that God sent him, and that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You understand? I'm God. That right there is a sign to you. Man can't do that.
But I appreciate that he gives them more signs. I like that about the Lord. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it turned again as his other flesh.
So God just proven to Moses that he's God. Stick your hand in your garment. Now take it out. How many of you know that doesn't make you lepers unless God is in it? Put it back in there and then bring it back out and it's cured. What's he doing? Moses, this is God talking to you. I'm not lying to you. I'm giving you signs. And when you get before those people, you've seen it, now you demonstrate it. You're experiencing it, you can demonstrate it. But a lot of people are trying to do things they haven't experienced first.
Man. All right, verse 8. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe you, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign.
Use the first sign, they don't believe that, show them the second sign.
Mm-hmm. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto your voice, that you shall take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which you took out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land.
They don't believe the first sign. They don't believe the second sign. Then turn the water into blood. Now I want you to look at this. In the mouth of two mm-hmm. or three witnesses,
yeah.
let every word be established. God gives Moses three witnesses, three signs, you understand,
mm-hmm.
to validate the truth. God said, let my people go. I'm not lying. So this is a sign, this is a sign, this is a sign. Right here's three witnesses if you pay attention to it.
And the Lord said unto the and Moses, excuse me, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue.
So Moses, even after this, these are phenomenal things, would you say so?
Mm-hmm.
But even after this, Moses is still reluctant to do what God's told him to do. And so he spoke to the Lord, and he said, I'm not a man of words. I'm not a good speaker. Never have been. My speech is bad.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't speak fluently. I'm going to tell you, this was one of the things that I had to overcome to go into the ministry. And even when I made the commitment and went into the ministry, and the first couple months before I would go to the pulpit, I would have to make a decision. Am I going there or out the back door? And I'm telling you that my knees would be shaking when I went up. I was so afraid. And I got laughed at for not using right words and things like that. You know, I never was an English scholar. Never will be as far as that part goes. I used a lot of words that people didn't use. You know, I grew up in a different neighborhood. And so these are things that you have to contend with in your own self. I would listen to the message. We would tape the message, like on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. And Monday, I would come in and I'd listen to the tape of Sunday. And I'd actually lay my head down on the desk and cried when I heard myself talking. It was so I don't know how you can get anything out of this. I don't even like me. You know what I mean? You have to overcome those things. But then God says, who made your mouth?
Yeah.
I couldn't give an old book report in school. I'd lay out of school. I mean, I'd lay out of school. I guarantee you that. But to think that we would stand here and speak, that to me is an absolute miracle. I have reason to believe in miracles because I know what it's like. I'm not a good speaker. Now, a lot of people say, well, Moses stuttered and stammered. The Bible doesn't say that. There are some people that are just, I mean, they talk to a wall. They're just comfortable talking. There's other people like me that would freeze if you had to initiate. I remember going in high school to work a problem on the blackboard because I was told to, and I panicked. I couldn't even work the problem. I knew the problem. I couldn't work the problem. It devastated me. You understand? Why in the world would God choose somebody like that? You have to depend on Him. And so Moses is pleading his case. I'm not a good talker. I'm not a good speaker. You need to get somebody you need to get an orator. You need to get someone well educated, someone that has an excellent vocabulary, someone that pronounces their words right. Well, I didn't qualify, and Moses didn't. But you're not the one that's setting the standard for the qualification. God is. And so you turn yourself over to God. And thank God He put somebody with me that could clean me up and get me talking better, using better words, correct words, and I'm not supposed to use contractions. I still do some of that. But anyway, it's just amazing how God chooses people, and then God uses the people He chooses, if you'll submit to Him. You guys don't know me how I used to be. I was a flower on the wall that didn't want to talk to nobody. And I stayed to myself. Put a whole new meaning to socially handicapped.
Verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you shall say.
And so God just says to him, who made the people that can't talk? Who made the people that can't hear? Who made the people that can't see? Do you think I can't take and use you? I made you. I can make you talk. I can make you hear. I can make you see. Now, there's a spiritual principle in that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that are dumb as far as talking spiritually. They're mute as far as, deaf as far as hearing the Spirit, and blind as far as seeing spiritually. But God can give you revelation. God can put a word in you. God can open your understanding. You can talk. You can hear. You can see God. Then you can execute the will of God. And all He's asking Moses to do what I told you to do. Now, I don't know what would have happened if Moses would have submitted to that right then and say, all right, I'm going to depend on you. We'd probably have a different narrative along the way. But Moses is still arguing with God.
And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray you, by the hand of him who you will send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he comes forth to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart.
So after all these things, Moses said, You need to send somebody else. No, I promise you, I can relate to that. I'm not bashing Moses. Don't misunderstand me there. And now he realizes just how inadequate he is. 40 years earlier, he thought he could do it. But it took that 40 years to mature him to the point that God could adequately use him.
Yeah.
And so he says, send somebody up. And says, God was angry with him. Well, your brother Aaron, he's a talker. He can talk. And he's coming to meet you. He's going to be glad to see you. And so now Aaron is going to become the mouthpiece. But now listen. But Aaron can't think of what to say. He can get the words out. We're going to see this later on. But you'll have to tell him what to say. So Moses is going to be the mediator between God and Aaron. Moses is hearing God. Aaron's not. And then Moses is telling Aaron what God said. Now this is what you say, Aaron. Think about it.
Verse 15, and you shall speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be your spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to you instead of a mouth, and you shall be to him instead of God. And you shall take this rod in your hand, wherewith you shall do signs.
Now, I mean, this is pretty profound when you look at it.
Yes.
So the Lord said, all right, you will tell Aaron what to say. In other words, you can be comfortable talking to your brother. You can't talk to the crowd. You can't talk to the diplomats. You can talk to your brother. So I'm going to tell you what I want that diplomat to hear. You tell Aaron. And it's going to be like this. You will be like God to Aaron in that you tell him what to say. And then Aaron, in turn, is going to be the prophet. Now there's a lot that could be said on this because people so misunderstand the prophet ministry. The prophet's one who hears God and speaks for God. Aaron is hearing Moses and speaking for Moses. So Moses is like God to Aaron. Aaron is not coming up with what to say. He's just being told what to say, and he says what he's told. And so that is an inspired word. God spoke it to Moses. Moses inspired Aaron to speak. Do you get that?
Yeah.
So Aaron is speaking by the inspiration of Moses. Moses is speaking by the inspiration of God to Aaron. You see that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Verse 18.
You know, I just thinking, this is what we do with romaine. It's just like this afternoon. So Heather's teaching what God's given her. She's given romaine what God's given her, and romaine's given to the people. What Heather said in Romaine. You follow me?
Yeah.
God's amazing.
He is.
And I said Romaine's not inspired. That's a man of God.
Yeah.
So don't misunderstand me. I'm just giving you an analogy how this thing actually works. She can't speak the language, so she can't talk to the people. He can speak the language and in a way the people will understand what he's saying. And so she says, all right, here's what I want you to say. The old man's not questioning her. He's just simply immediately saying what she says. Well, that's what God was saying with Moses and Aaron. I spare you, you tell Aaron, and let Aaron speak it out. Right?
That's pretty good.
God's good.
Yeah, he is.
All right, we've got 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. And Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray you, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace.
So after Moses hears what God's telling him, and God says, You take the rod. You'll find out that from that point on, that's called the rod of God. It used to be the rod of Moses, now it's the rod of God. God got into that rod. You with me? And so Moses is convinced now. And so he goes to his father-in-law and says, I want to go back to Egypt. His father-in-law says, go in peace. In other words, go do what God told you to do. Fulfill your assignment. You with me? We don't want to get in the way of people, but we want to encourage people to do what God's told them to do. Our time's up, so we'll stop here and you can mark where we are there.
Yes.
It's amazing how God works, isn't it? Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. You guys have a great weekend.